Well, good morning again. Morning. All right, before we get started on the, I just want to tell some of our northern friends, a lot of them's already left, and I didn't get a chance to speak to all of them, but there's some still fixing to go, and I just want to tell you how good it was to have you here this past winter, and we love to learn from you as you come and learn from us, visit with you, and we're going to be looking forward to having you back next year as soon as possible, I hope. But I just want to tell you goodbye, and if anybody, there's some leaving, this will be their last Sunday. We just want to tell you we appreciate you, and we're looking forward to you coming back next year. All right, I've got a question for you. How many knows the devil's standing on the outside of those doors? How many know you're sitting inside the building? Amen. The title for my message this morning is, Who Are You Listening To? Who are you listening to? This message is going to be a warning. Who's it a warning to? Newborn Christians. If there's anybody here that's recently been born again, this message is for you. Young Christians that's on the milk still, that's still in early stages of their walk with God, this message is for you. Older Christians who refuse to get off the milk, and there are those that refuse to get off the milk. You've got to a place in your life where you're comfortable, and you know just enough to satisfy you. And you don't want to go into the meat. You don't want to learn anymore. This message is for you. And for all Christians. I don't believe there's a message one on Sunday morning from any man that's talking for God that the message ain't for everybody in this room. Amen? Another question. How many know there's people that want to stop you from getting some things that God wants to give you in your life? How many believes that there, when the Bible speaks of an abundant life, that abundant life is real? How many believe there is that real joy that the Bible speaks about? What about that peace that the Bible speaks about? It's very real. There's people that they want to take it away from you. They don't want you to get that peace. They don't want you to have that joy. They don't want you to have that abundant life that God speaks about in the Bible. There are people. How many believe in the healing power of God? There's people that want you to believe that. There's so many things this Bible talks about, these people don't want you to know about. These people want to take you from where you are now. They want to stop you. They don't want you to move forward. They don't not only want to stop you, they want to turn you around and send you back where you come from and drag you deeper down than what you were to start with. There are people. Who are these people? And how will we know who they are? That's what I'm going to hope to explain to you today. Our first place we're going to stop at is in Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. And then we're going to go to 36 through 43. The parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, this enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull him up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Now you go on down to verses 36 through 43, and it explains this parable. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. The answer, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. That's you and me. At least I know it's me. I hope it's you. Only you can answer that. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The weeds are the sons of the devil. They're not God's people. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. I'm not going any farther than that there. The reason I brought you these verses, they're talking about the world. You know, God has planted his people, his children, all over the world. Everywhere you go, there's a Christian somewhere there. But guess what? The devil has planted his seeds all over the world. The weeds. No matter where you go, there's going to be an unsaved person there with you. And most likely more than one. Those are the ones we're talking about this morning. The sons of the devil. He wants to stop you from moving. See, when he planted us all over the world, he put us there for reasons. He wanted us to spread the gospel, to tell everybody about him. They're there to stop us. That's their job, to stop us. Not let us get anything that God wants to give to us. They don't even want us to believe what God has to say. So that's who the people are. I got a couple places I want to go to talk about these people. First, we're going to the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. That's what I'm talking about earlier when I asked you how many knows he's in the church. He could be sitting behind you. He could be sitting in front of you. He could be standing behind the pulpits. I hope not in this church. And I know not in this church. But there are churches out there that he's actually behind the pulpit. See, we have a tendency to want to believe when a man or a woman comes into our church building sometimes, we have a tendency, if they act godly, if they look godly, if they smile and shake your hand, say, praise the Lord, we think they're godly. That's not always so. This is a warning. You can't believe everybody by the way they look, their first appearances. You've got to take time to know these people. See, that's the reason we got these church families, so we can get to know each other. We can know whether I belong to God or you belong to God, or whether I can trust you and you can trust me. We have time to spend together. We're taking too many people's words for what this book means, and we're not trusting the ones God gave us to trust, to look to, and to listen to. Amen? They're slipping in among you. You are godless men. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. See, these people make you think it's okay to go out and sin. All you got to do it at nighttime, just ask God to forgive you. Go on back out tomorrow and do whatever you want to do. That's a lie. Some people are falling for the lie. God gave us choices to make. And every one of us got a choice to make. We can either follow God or we can follow the devil, one or the other. And according to your lifestyle, tells who you're following. You may say, I belong to God. But you're walking with the devil. Who does that make you? It doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth. It's your action tells the truth. Amen? Second Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 13 and 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. There's people sitting in our churches this morning acting like Christians, masquerading. Not up to me to point fingers. I don't know who you are. But I'm fixing to tell you some ways you can find out. If each one of us, I'll pay attention to what I say this morning, you'll know how to spot them. But they're in our churches. I'm not saying they're not in this, and they could be. I'm not saying they are. But there are ways, the Bible does speak of different ways we can spot them. And it also tells us how we can spot a real Christian. Amen? 2 Timothy, chapter 3, 1 through 5. And we're going to stay here for a while. We're fixing to start talking about some of these people who are masquerading as Christians. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, 1 through 5. There will be terrible times in the last days. How many know we're in the last days? Started when Jesus died on the cross. Personally, I think we're in the last of the last days. That's my opinion. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. Self-centered people. When you look for somebody who's not Christians, look, these are some things you'll see in them that's putting on. They may put up a good show for a little while, for a couple of hours on Sunday morning. But if you're following them home and around the workplaces now, you're going to see a different story because they can't be this way all the time. See, it takes the Spirit of God in you to keep you on a correct and a good straight road all the time. They don't have Him. So what you're going to do is you can look for a self-centered person, someone who is conceited, and people who's always talking about themselves. The second one it says here is lovers of money. These are greedy people, greedy for money. They have an excessive desire for wealth, and they'll do just about anything they can do to get that money. Boasters, braggers, full of great swelling words. They're always bragging on themselves and just how great they are. Four is proud. Arrogant people. Overbearing people. Five, he said, they're blasphemers. Evil speakers. Profane. Abusive. Foul mouth. Contemptuous. Insulting. They put up a good front on Sunday mornings for a couple of hours. But this is the way they live their life when they walk out those doors. Disobedient to parents, rebellious, unyouthful, uncontrolled. These people have convinced our judges and our lawmakers that we shouldn't make our kids mine anymore. That's why you got this. That's in there. When they took our rights to make our kids grow up and be obedient, and because, and I got to admit, there's people, kids were abused when they're growing up. They're still being abused. Even though they come up with all these rules and regulations, you can't make your kids mine, we still got the same problem. That didn't change that. These are the people who got these laws put into place where I can't make my child mine without going to jail. That is why they don't have anything, they don't listen to their parents. They don't obey their parents. Matter of fact, if you listen to them, they're telling their parents what to do. It's because of these people we're talking about this morning. Unthankful. They're ungrateful, lacking in appreciation. They don't care what they kind of think you owe them whatever you do for them. You look for that in these people. Unholy, impious, profane, irreverent, holding nothing sacred. Unloving, hard-hearted, unnaturally callous, unfeeling. These people really don't. They may act sometimes like they care about you, but they really don't. They really don't. They have no feelings. Keep your eye on these people. Don't spot them for 10 or 15 minutes and then, oh, they got to be godly. That's not so. That's not so at all. And this is a warning to you. Get to know who you're listening to. Get to know who you're following. Get to know whoever you put in front of the congregation. And that includes me. That includes Tim. That includes our elders, our deacons, any leader in a church. Make sure you know who they are. Don't put anybody in place that you don't think belongs to God, that is not filled with the Holy Spirit, is not led by the Holy Spirit, and not obedient to the Holy Spirit. You need to get to know anybody and everybody that's going to stand up here and teach your children, that's going to teach your wife or your husband, or anybody that you care about, our brothers and sisters. You need to know who stands before you, because they can lead you astray and then do it very quickly. Unforgiving, refusing to make peace, refusing efforts toward reconciliation. You know, now when I'm talking about all these, every one of us in here can fit somewhere in here to some degree. We're saved, but we're not sinless yet. I mean, we're not perfect yet. We can make these mistakes. I'm not talking about making a mistake doing something. I'm talking about living your life this way. That's what I'm talking about. A person who lives their life, who could care less. I'm not talking about somebody who makes mistakes. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. But we know what to do with their mistakes. Amen? Unforgiving. These people, they know what the Bible says about forgiveness. God says, if you want me to forgive you, you've got to forgive those that have sinned against you. This is something we really need. The church needs to work on, because there's people sitting, and I know they're saved people, but they're holding on to this unforgiveness. You got to turn it loose. Not necessarily for their benefit, for your own benefit. God will only forgive you if you're willing to forgive others. Amen? So if you hear anybody that, I'll never forgive him. He did this and did that. Back away from him. I'm not saying they're not saved, but by George, if that's what they're doing, something's wrong there. Don't listen to them. Slanderers, spreading false and malicious reports. I know you don't know anybody that does that. They're sitting in their church. They're causing problems in our church. Without self-control, men of uncontrolled passions, people who has loose in morals or conduct, demoralized, depraved, some of them perverts. 12, brutal, savage, unprincipled. They have no principles. They live to do whatever it is they want to do. And they will hurt you in a heartbeat. Despiser of good, haters of whatever or whoever is greedy or is good, utterly opposed to goodness in any form. Traitors, treacherous, betrayers. Be careful, because they'll stab you in the back in a heartbeat. You may think you can trust them, you can't. Headstrong, reckless, self-willed, rash. Some people that they only want their own will to be performed, not God's will. See, it must be God's will done, not my will done. These people only have one interest, and that's in themselves and what they will. Haughty, making empty pretensions and conceited. They say things about themselves that's not so. They say they can do things they really can't do. 17, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Those who love sensual pleasure but not God. In other words, you'd rather be out on Sunday morning riding in your boat. You'd rather be out Sunday night watching a movie or a ball game. Anywhere. I mean, Sunday morning is enough for anybody, right? That's all we need of God, right? Just Sunday morning, a couple hours on Sunday morning? Well, these people, they can come and they can handle it for 2 hours. They can be nice for 2 hours. They can be good for 2 hours, but then they're ready to get out this door. Why? Because they got other plans, and they don't involve God at all. They can be here long enough to fool you and me if we don't pay attention to them once they go out these doors. We don't keep an eye on how they live their life out there. And the only way you're going to do that is you get to know these people. You got to get to know these people. If you don't get to know them, don't listen to them. And don't assume they're Christians. And I assure you, this message is not my message. It's God's message. He put this together. I'm just telling you what he's got for me to tell you. Be careful who you're listening to. Okay, that takes you down to verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. It says, have nothing to do with them. What does it mean, having a form of godliness, but denying its power? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, of Christ, he does not belong to Christ at all. These people do not have this power living in them. The ones I just told you about, they don't have this power. They're not empowered by him. The Holy Spirit does not live in these people. Okay, I talked quite a bit about these unsaved, the sons of the devil. I think you've got a good idea of what to look for when you're around people. And I'm not talking about that first 10, 15 minutes you get around that person, because they can be very good at what they do. They can masquerade as one of us. They can act like, you know, the way things are now, they've taught and led real Christians into acting like them. There's Christians that act like the unsaved. But then again, there's the unsaved that act like Christians. Getting where it's kind of hard to tell the difference. It's hard to tell the difference at that first glance. But if you'll pay attention to their life, go past that first 10 or 15 minutes you've seen them, watch them. If you're going to listen to them, if you're going to be led by them, make sure you're watching them. Watch me. Check me out at my workplace. Ask my wife what I'm like at home, if that's what you want to do. Watch me. I could be one of them. You don't know that unless you watch me. Watch Tim. Watch our elders. Watch everybody in this church that's trying to lead you in some way. Even if it's one of you sitting there saying, oh, come on. God don't care about it. He won't mind. Let's go do this. Watch these people. If it's against this book, yes, he does mind. All right, now let's go to one last Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 and 23. So what do I look for if I want to find somebody I want to serve? I mean, not to serve, but to follow, that I want to learn from, or that I want to teach me. The first thing you look for is love. Love. You can't have anything else without that first, without the starting place here. Love. How many know apples and oranges, they can only grow so big, right? Love, there's no boundary to how big love can grow. See, this fruit we're talking about, this is the fruits of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that puts this in you. You've got to have the Spirit to have any of this we're fixing to talk about. That love can grow as big as you'll let it grow. Your love for others can grow just as much as you'll let it grow. Amen? Once you receive this love, now we're talking about that joy that we talked about earlier, and that peace, that real joy, that real peace that some people don't know anything about. Why? Because they've let these people change their, send them down a path that God won't bless. A path that where there's sin involved in their lives. Unrepentant sin. They haven't repented of these sins. That steals your joy. That steals your peace that we're talking about here. You'll never have it until repentance takes place in your life. Amen? Kindness. Look for a kind person that's not kind for a few minutes. That's the way they are. They're kind. Why? Because they have this love. They have this peace. They have this joy. You can't help them be kind if you know what we're talking about here. If you experience His love, if you have experienced His joy, His peace. I skipped one. Patience. Back up to patience. You got to have patience. Now, I spoke this many times. You've heard some pastors tell you don't ask for patience. I'm one that tells you to ask for patience. You need it. You need it. I had to go through my own training program on patience, and God took me through it. And I spent many hours learning how to be patient. But I had the Holy Spirit with me the whole time to remind me and to talk to me when I was going through it, and to show me how to receive this patience we're talking about. Then the kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. You see, the people we're talking about here will really be faithful to you. They won't stab you in the back. They'll be there when you need them, anytime you need them, if there's any way possible. Now, we do know there's times when some people just can't be there. But there's brothers and sisters there. There's somebody. If you're part of a church like this church, there's somebody that will be there for you if you'll let somebody know you need them. Now, I can witness to this church. I've seen many people go to many people's side and help them out in all different kinds of situations. People who really belong to God are faithful. So you look for faithful people, kind people, good people, people full of love, people that have that joy, that peace in their life. And it doesn't matter what kind of situation they're in, that peace stays. It holds them. It never lets go of them. Amen? Against self-control. These people have self-control. They don't let just anything and everything derail them from being in the Bible. They don't let anything and everything keep them from coming to church on Sunday morning. They don't let anything and everything keep them from praising and worshiping the Lord the way they're supposed to. He deserves to be praised and worshiped. They have self-control. These people, even when they don't feel like it, stand up and praise the Lord. Why? Because they know He deserves it. Don't matter what they feel like. God always deserves to be praised and worshiped and listened to. Amen? Like I said, this message is a warning, because there's people sitting in our churches that are very easily persuaded by somebody that's gifted in talking, who can get up in front of a congregation and give you the fanciest sermon you ever heard. They got 5 or 6 degrees on the wall from where they went to college and all that. And I'm not down in college. But you need to ask them, when did God call you to preach? Amen. Or teach? When were you filled with the Holy Spirit? When did you start walking with God? How long have you been listening to God? How well do you know God? No. Now you got churches all across the country saying, how many degrees have you got? And that's more important to them than if God Himself called that person. See, don't tell me how many years of school you've got. I want to know, how many years have you been listening to the Holy Spirit? How long has the Holy Spirit been teaching you? What has He showed you? I want to see if what He knows it has anything to do with what I know. Because I've been in this book myself. I'm studying this book myself. You should be in this book yourself, so you know that I know what I'm talking about. That you know that I'm not going to lead you astray. My job is to protect every one of you, and that's what I'm doing this morning. And if you don't get into the Word and don't start reading your Word, and this is something I've been every time I get up here, I touch on. Why? Because God wants me to. Why? Because apparently somebody's not. You're not listening to my sermons. Why? Because somebody's keeping you from it, because they don't want you to hear. I think I just explained to who that somebody was. We need to get into the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Don't worry about me. Listen to the Word of God. Read it, study it, memorize it. Get it in you. And let it start to change your life. Because if your life is not changing, something's wrong. Anybody who belongs to God, they're in a constant change. You will never stay the same. You will continue moving in a direction. And if you're going the opposite direction, something's wrong. You're listening to the wrong person. If you think you can walk out and do any kind of sin without repentance, you're going in the wrong direction. I know we all do, but a Christian knows what to do about it. He knows how to turn around and go back where he's supposed to be. These people, they want to keep you going in the wrong direction. Amen? That's what God's got for you today. What you do with it, it's up to you. I did my part. I told you exactly what God wanted you to know. And I know when for sure it's God, because it just falls into place at the last moment. He just, boom, 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 there it is. And that's what this sermon did. I didn't come up with a sermon. He gave it to me. So now it's in your hands. It's out of my hands. I did my job. Amen? Now it's up to you. We all stand.